If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. And by the way, before we get started, I want to wish happy anniversary to Joanne and Michelle. 34 years of marriage. They celebrated yesterday. So that was fantastic. Congratulations, you guys. Psalms 34. A lot of times, Kisha had brought this up during praise here. They said that they had read Habakkuk during their Sunday school. But, you know, there's times you have to ask yourselves the question, what is it? What's going on? I mean, when will I ever get a breakthrough? What's going on? Why is it that I'm just sometimes seem that I'm living hand to mouth, or I just can't ever get ahead, or nothing seems to really get accomplished? It seems like you take two steps forward and three steps back. It seems like we're literally just living one day at a time and just barely keeping it together. I mean, for some of us, it seems like we just go to work to pay the bills. And so you just have to ask yourself sometime, what's going on here? Am I just crazy? What's going on? Well, as Kisha had mentioned in Habakkuk, God assures us that He has a purpose for our life. And He has a plan designed for us. And I know many of the youth are wondering this week at Falls Creek when they go down to youth camp, what's God going to do great in my life? I want to see God. I'll never forget when Pastor Adam and I were over at Ground Zero. One of the girls at the end of camp one year said, you know, I'm so disappointed because God didn't move the way I expected Him to. And sometimes our expectations are He's going to do something fantastic. And in reality, He has, but maybe you've missed it because you're so focused on yourself and what you're going to get out of it for you. I love telling this story that when I went down there as Falls Creek as a teenager, I was looking forward to two things. One is, what's God going to do in my life this week? And the other one is, am I going to meet a chick down there to go out with on an icy day? And so during the week, during the first of the week, part of the week, God was working on me, working on my heart, and I determined to go down that night to make a decision for the invitation. And then all of a sudden, that afternoon, the same time, I met a girl. And I worked up enough courage to ask her if she would like to go to Tabernacle with me and maybe go on an icy date afterwards. And I went to her cabin to wait for her, and someone said that they'll go inside and get her. And while I was waiting there, out of nowhere, I wasn't doing a thing, out of nowhere, a wasp came down and stung me on the ear. And I thought, what happened? Why did you do that? And God just said, I just want to make sure I got hold of your ear and you don't back out of your invitation. It's your commitment to walk down the invitation tonight. And I said, okay, God, you got it. And so I walked down the invitation that night, and she went down as well. So that was a plus for both me and her. But, you know, my mind was focused more on this girl than it was what God was wanting to do in my life. But He just made sure that He had my ear. And it did. It did for sure. So God does wonderful things in our lives, but sometimes our focus gets kind of misguided, and we lose kind of sight of that. But the only really decision that we have to make is, will we follow His plan? Will we follow His teachings when it seems that God doesn't hear us? Hello, God. I go to church, I tithe, I do things. Are you there? And sometimes we don't think He hears us. Where's the consistency? Where's this land promised to us of flowing with milk and honey? I mean, it's one day it seems like we're celebrating Pharaoh's defeat, and then the next day we're thirsty for water. We're dying of thirst for water. Or one moment we're living in an oasis, and then the next minute we're starving in the desert. I mean, what's this stuff all about? Well, let me let you know that there's going to be rough times in our lives, but don't let it harden you or discourage you, because it's temporary. This isn't our final destination. It's a temporary condition, and it requires a temporary sustenance or a temporary solution. I mean, in the Bible, that's what the manna was. Sometimes what happens when we do it is we can sometimes, all we see is what's before us, these materialistic things. We see, you know, car breaks down, hot water tank goes out, air conditioning quits, this or that happens to us. But we focus on ourselves, but in reality, there's people dealing with far more conditions, more larger than that. There's people that have cancer that are trying to stay alive. There's people that have went through surgeries in order to stay alive. There's people who have their health to worry about. And so sometimes what we do is we worry ourselves in a frenzy with these things before us, to what we see, when there's really a simple solution all along. A certain man, he had problems with some dizzy spells, and so he went from one doctor to another doctor, and they couldn't quite tell him what his problem was. Tried everything. But it kept bothering him so much that he even began to lose weight. He couldn't sleep at night. And he became such a nervous wreck about this stuff that even his health conditions began to deteriorate. And he kind of began to lose hope that he would ever recover from these constant dizzy spells. So what he decided to do is to prepare for the worst. So he made out his will, and he bought a cemetery plot. Even made arrangements with his local undertaker for what was probably conceived in his mind, his soon demise. And he even decided to buy a new set of clothes to be buried in. So whenever he went to the tailor, he was measured for everything. He picked out shoes and socks, a coat, pants, all these things. He even asked for a size 15 shirt as well. When it was getting measured, the clerk said, "Sir, you need a size 16 and a half shirt." But the man insisted, "I've always worn size 15 shirts. I want a size 15 shirt." And so finally, after this went back and forth in exasperation of arguing with the man, the clerk said, he said, "Sir, if you wear a size 15 shirt, you're going to get dizzy spells." So sometimes it's just a simple solution all along is change something in your life and it'll take care of some things. Well, Psalms 34:10, our scripture today says, in verse 10 of Psalms 34, it says, "For young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." Today I want to speak to you about how God wants to provide for you and I, God's source of provision, and then the sources that He does use in our life. Especially what I want to do is I want to use the Old Testament pattern of how God dealt with His children. There are basically four ways God provided for His children. And He will provide for both you and I in the time that we need Him. And as the word is spoken into your life, the first way that God provides for His people, number one, is through the hand of man. In the book of Genesis, chapter 45, we're told the story of Joseph. It's a great story. And his brothers had come from a foreign land. And of course, at this time, all of Egypt is in a famine. And Joseph says to his brothers in chapter 50, verse 19, he says, "Don't be afraid. God has sent me before you into this land so that I could with my own hands take care of you and give you food in your famine." He said, "I'll feed you with my hands," Joseph said to his brothers who had done him so wrong, if you remember in the story. So God provides with the hand of man. And don't be picky about how He does it. Don't say who He can use and who He can't use. And I don't know if this, I want this person to help me or not. Because God even used Pharaoh to provide for Joseph. And Joseph then in turn was used to provide for his family. And so God, when He's going to bless you, will use the hand of man. That's why in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, so powerful, it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and in good measure, and running over, and men shall give unto your bosom." The King James Version says men. So notice it comes from the hands of men. He says, as long as you give, God will make sure that there will be men who give into your life. You may have heard this story before, how God uses the hand of man. I love this old story, so you're going to hear it again. there was a widow woman, and she didn't have very much, and she was elderly, of course, and she was living at home, and she was in need, and she didn't have anything but just peanut butter and jelly. So she got to praying. She's saying, "God, I am so hungry. Please send me a loaf of bread." And she began praying fervently and praying out loud, "Oh God, would you please send me a loaf of bread?" And she says she kept on praying and praying, and her neighbor who was next door happened to hear her through the window and while she was crying out to God. And of course, he was an atheist, and he didn't believe in God, and he kept getting tired of hearing her pray to a God that really wasn't real. So what he did is he climbed up on the roof, and he dropped a loaf of bread down the chimney, through a chimney. And of course, when the bread came down through the chimney, she really started shouting then, shouting, "Hallelujah, God has given me a loaf of bread. Now I can finally make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich." And then after he kept hearing this and hooting and hollering going over there, he decided to rain on her party. And he knocked on her door, and whenever she opened up the door, he said, "Why are you making so much noise?" And she said, "God just gave me a loaf of bread." And he said, "Lady, God did not give you that loaf of bread. God didn't have anything to do with it." He said, "What I did is I climbed up on your roof and I dropped it straight down through the chimney. God didn't have anything to do with it. It was all me." And then she really started shouting. And he said, "Lady, I don't understand exactly. What is your problem?" She said, "God gave me a loaf of bread and he used the devil to deliver it." I mean, I just always like that story. It's still funny every time you hear it. So God will provide through the hand of man, and don't be picky about how he does it. Don't you ever forget it. And don't you say it has to be this kind of man or that kind of man. Because God can use anybody, anywhere, anytime to meet your needs. Now the point is this, that God will not let you depend on any one individual too long. Be careful if you start depending on an individual for too long, because God wants you to understand that that person is being used by God. He calls them to give unto your bosom, but they are not your source, because God's your source. The second way God provides for us is not only through the hand of man, but secondly, through the hand of God. Supernaturally. Supernatural blessings begin to flow from his hand. Because you see, after 40, or God provided for Joseph for 70 years for his family. And the Bible said all of a sudden, there arose another Pharaoh. And this Pharaoh knew not Joseph, nor his God, and what he did is decide to cut all the food off. And suddenly the hand of man who was looking to be fed and to feed them, and the children of Israel were feed them, all of a sudden God severed it. God broke that link. And now what they had to do is they had to believe for God to send his resources. And so what happens now in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, God begins raining manna down from heaven. And began to feed the children of Israel. Supernaturally, this dew started coming down. Every morning, there was just enough dew to supply every household. And God, by his very own hand, fed the children of Israel. Now, I want you to understand, God broke the link. And he said, "You've been depending on man's hand. But," he said, "now I want to show you that sometimes I'll supply your need, not by man's hand. As a matter of fact, I'll sever it or I'll cut it. And if you've been depending on somebody's hand that has been blessing you, maybe even an employer's hand, and that relationship has been severed, don't become afraid or don't become fearful, because that man's hand is not your source. God's hand is your source. And God will break your link with any other hand other than his own hand." That's why Jesus said in John chapter 15, he says, "Without me, you can do nothing, because I am the vine and you are the branches. Without me, unless you're connected to me, you're not going to produce any fruit." Because God is really into dependency. He's always into you and I always needing him more and more and more. He likes that. And so what happens sometimes is God will come along and put you in a place of transition, and He'll turn your life around. He may even rock your boat sometimes. Because what we want is we want a system to where we can just pray lightly, and it'll always come in, and it'll always be answered, just like the children of Israel. For 70 years they had it coming in from Joseph. But God will sometimes break that link, and when He does, get ready, because you're going to get ready to move from man's hand to God's hand. If you remember the brook in 1 Kings chapter 17 that fed Elijah the prophet during the famine, that was the system that God used, but God still was the source. The ravens and the birds of the air that brought Elijah the food, that was the system, but God was still the source. And the system that God uses, it may change, but God is still our source. And so the way that God provides is through His own hand. And when He does it, according to Exodus chapter 16, verse 15, the children of Israel, when He started providing for them, they started saying, "What is this?" When He sent the manna. The children of Israel started talking to each other, "What is this stuff laying on the ground here?" And so sometimes when God starts to provide for us through His own hand, it takes a while to start to know God's ways and what He's doing. It takes a while to figure out how God's working. Because some folk just want to be instant successes. But the truth is, sometimes what God's going to have to do is reposition you. And when you're used to obtaining things from one way, from one source, then God comes along and says, "I'm about to reposition you, and if you'll just trust me and obey me during these transitions, then I'll bless you even more." Because we're always used to having it one way. And then all of a sudden, if we lose our job, something happens, we tend to lose control, and sometimes we don't tend to trust God like we should. That's just human nature. But the truth is that when He sent the manna, the Bible said, if you read it, it's an interesting text. He said, if you had enough, he said that if you had a household of two people, then He would send 2 quarts of manna every morning and every evening, enough to feed per person. Maybe the tent next door had 6 people. Well, the tent of 2 people would get 4 quarts of manna that day for the evening and for the morning. If you had 6 people, then God would increase the manna for that house. So it wasn't equal. What He gave to each house, it was really about how many people they had according to each house is how much manna that God sent them to feed and supply them. God provided exactly what they needed because, you see, they couldn't store it up. They didn't have ice boxes or refrigerators, and besides, if they did try to keep it, it would rot the next day, even had worms in it. Which, by the way, also, whenever that cloud moved while they were out there, it wasn't that the children of Israel were so obedient to God or that they were so spiritual that they wanted to follow His ways, but children of Israel rather understood, if I don't stay under this cloud, I'm not going to get any food. So they just stayed under that cloud to get food. And here's the point. God says, "I'm about to give you bread from heaven, but I don't give the same amount to everybody. I'll give you according to the size of your assignment. If your assignment is 2 people, He'll give you enough for 2 people. If your assignment is for 6 people, He'll give you enough for 6 people. And God says, "I will give you my provision according to the size of your assignment. And whenever you're faithful for what I give you, when I give it to you, then I'll increase it more and more and more by the hand of God." If man's hand is no longer blessing you, then you have the hand of God that will also bless you. Philippians 4:19. We're so used to quoting that in the New Testament. "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus." But wait a minute. If you stop the train and look and go back up, you need to go back up all the way back up to verse 14 in that chapter and find out who He was talking to. He said in verse 14, "You Philippians have become my partners in giving time and time again. And then he says, therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs. So God promises that if you're a giver, if you're a generous person to the kingdom of God, for the work of God, God's word says, I will supply by my hand, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. So God will provide by the hand of man. He'll provide through the hand of God. And thirdly, the way God provides is the hand that is your very own. Your own hand. You see, it states in Joshua chapter 5, verse 12, it says, and the manna ceased. He quit raining dew down from heaven. Oh my God, it's panic time. We're used to getting this stuff for 40 years, every day, morning, noon, and night. The manna came and it ceased. What's God going to do now? I mean, what are we supposed to do? And God says, I'm changing you. I'm repositioning you. I'm getting ready to bless you again. But we like it everything to stay the same. It's easy that way. But God knows what He's doing in our life if we'll only trust Him. And make Him first in our life in every area, and He'll lead us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and from victory to victory. And He'll bless us more and more, and He'll increase us more and more. Now I'm about to move you from the hand of man and the hand of God with miracle after miracle after miracle that I provided you for. You know, at some point we need to stop living off the miracles. And then He says, I'm going to bless you with your own hand. The manna ceased. And God says, I'm going to transition you. And in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 9, He says, I'm going to take you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And then the next verse after that, He says, but the land you are about to go into is not like the hand of Egypt that you came from, where you sowed your seed. And then all of a sudden, there's this strange little phrase in there that we often miss, and it says, and watered by foot as a vegetable garden. It's kind of odd, that little phrase in there. And that's a direct reference to the foot pumps that they had set up in Egypt, what they would use in order just to get a tiny little harvest so they could feed themselves while they were under the captivity of the Egyptians. Just to get some little plant to come up out of the ground, they had to irrigate from the Nile River, and just enough food that they could get barely by and eat. And then God says to them, where I am taking you, I'm moving you off of the foot pump into a land that is flowing. I don't want you just scratching by. I don't want you just scraping by. I don't want you just kind of eke by. He says, I want you off of that foot pump, and I'm going to take you to a land. I'm going to reposition you where the blessings are flowing with milk and honey. And He says, I'm taking you to a land that is flowing. He says, you're coming off the foot pump. And you're going into the flow. And the goodness of God is about to flow right into your life. And whether you're in the valley or whether you're on top of the mountain, he said, even at the beginning of the year to the end of the year, I'm going to take care of you. And He says in Deuteronomy, read it sometime, chapter 11, he says, I'm going to take care of you in this as you transition into this land that is flowing with milk and honey. Because, you see, whenever you have the Egyptian mentality, you always seem to like you're praying SOS prayers. Financially. Oh, God, help us. We need a miracle. Get us out of this one. We need a miracle somewhere, some way, and fast. By the way, we need a fast. And we need the money. We're always praying these 911 prayers. We're always in a crisis. We're either coming from a crisis, going into another crisis. But God tells us, He says, I want you to begin to walk in that divine flow of my blessings. I want you to get off of that foot pump that you're just pumping constantly just to get a little something out of it. And live in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. That's why we're here in church today. That's why we're hearing the word, we're getting the faith, we're getting the encouragement from one another coming into our life that there's a better land for your life and my life. I mean, some may be on that foot pump, just pumping away. But God's ultimate will for us is to be in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And God said, this part, the manna has ceased. This is going to require you to sow. And it's going to require you to work in the field. This is going to require you to do something. It's going to involve you. I mean, up to this point, you've been living off the hand of man, and you've been living off the hand of God, but God's getting ready to bless you with your gifts. God's getting ready to bless you with your abilities. He's getting ready to begin to excel you that God has equipped you with. God's gift to you will make room for you. And whenever you begin to flow in the gift that God's given you, these set of strategies and these set of abilities that He's given you, it's going to bless you. And God's going to bless you something better than what you've even expected, so we can get away from these emergency financial prayers all the time. It starts to flow in our life, and you can do it. And God has given us gifts and abilities to do that. God's not going to do it for us. Many of you have discovered your spiritual gift on Wednesday night and what resides in you, and it's time to use it. The manna has ceased, and God says, I'm not sending it anymore. If you want to harvest, then you're going to have to start sowing. Start using your own hands and working. In other words, grow up and I'll meet your needs. But you've got to find your purpose in the kingdom. And you need to find your gifts and put them to work. And some need to get off of their blessed assurance and begin working in the kingdom of God. And when you do it, you'll find that God will begin to bless you by your own hands. And you'll begin to move beyond crisis all the time. He's not going to make it rain down money for you. But God takes care of things that we don't even see with our eyes sometimes. Some of you, most of you in here are in good health. And we take that for granted a lot of times, that we can get up and walk out of here. There's a lot of people that can't even do that. So it's not all about money all the time. It's not all about material things that we see before us that we're thinking, oh, poor me. God will move us beyond these crises all the time that pop up, because now God's involving you. And you're not always going to be just one step away from your creditors all the time. But now you have a set of skills and you have a set of strengths, what to do, that you don't even know about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul stated, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell within me. Because you have things in you, I have things inside of me, we all have things inside of us that we're not even aware of, which God has weaved into the fabrics of our soul. And whenever we decide to yield to Him, this gets God's attention. This awakens Him, and where He can begin to awaken those gifts that reside in you, that reside in your spirit. And so God will use your own hand to work in the kingdom to do that. And here's the last one. God will provide you by the hand of your enemy. 12 spies went into the promised land. 2 of them came back. 10 came back saying, the giants are too big. But 2 of them came back saying that our God is able. He is able to deliver thee. And one of the spies, when they were talking, brought up the giants. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 9, one of the spies said, these giants are nothing but bread to us. It's amazing when you read that. God's going to provide for us through our enemies. What does that mean, that they are bread for us? It means that God will use the hand of your enemy to provide for you. I know that sounds weird, but it happens. Sometimes people that you don't think too highly of, all of a sudden they'll come up to you and say, you know, I just don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do this. And you're sitting there scratching your head all this while thinking, wait a minute. You'll get to a place sometimes in your life where you'll begin to feed off those attacks that the enemy brings to you. That the enemy tries to throw at you, to stumble you, to fear, make you full of fear, to rile you up, to get you just frazzled. And instead of discouraging you, it makes you more steadfast and makes you more determined to do the will of God. And what you do is you come to a point to where you begin to feed off of those attacks. And it's almost an attitude of you develop like, bring it on, Satan. Is that all you've got? Is that the best that you can do? I'm not groaning, I'm just growing in God. I'm ready for you. I once heard the phrase that if you don't come face to face with the devil, you may be going the same way he is. So don't be scared of these attacks that you get. A satanic attack is actually a sign that you become a high-value target in the kingdom. And whenever the enemy targets you or your family, it's a sign that you're a high-value target. It means that you have something in your life worth attacking. And when the enemy levels his attacks against you, it means two things. Number one, it means that you're valuable to God and his assignment that he's given you. And number two, it means that your level of blessing is waiting for you, that whenever you get this attack, it's going to be beyond anything that you can imagine. And that's why the enemy's trying to stop you, because he knows what God has in store for you, and he wants you to miss it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you want to turn there, that's a good place to turn. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In verses 10 through 12, it says this: Now he who supplies seed to the sower, 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 12, he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What he'll do is he'll supply you with a seed. And when he supplies you with a seed, you can choose to either eat the seed, you can choose to hang on to the seed, or you can choose to sow the seed. But he only multiplies the seeds that you and I sow. And what will happen whenever we sow is he will begin to increase the fruits of our righteousness. Verse 11. Then you will be then enriched in everything for all liberality which is through us is producing thanksgiving to God. And so while you're enriched in everything, not just spiritual things, it's going to cause thanksgiving in our hearts through us to God. Well, watch this. It doesn't end there. Verse 12, it says, For the ministry of his service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. And that's what happens with the power of God's exchange. We take what we have in our hand, and we release it to God, and God multiplies then that seed to grow that we sow. And whenever this happens, we become so liberally blessed that it ends up producing thanksgiving in our hearts. And if that wasn't enough, even when we sow, it takes care of others as well and causes them to be free and become blessed until God can get them to a place or to a land that is flowing, which will then produce thanksgiving in their heart to God, all because of what you did, that you can be a part of something so great. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift that he gives us. You know, I've always loved wildflowers, fields of wildflowers. You've seen them, especially in the field or you're driving along the highway, interstate or something like that. It's kind of plain, boring, looking at other cars. All of a sudden you see this patch of wildflowers to the side, and it's just so beautiful. It's just nice, such a nice change. And it seems when I see these fields of beauty, of flowers, I feel like it's just evidence of God's invisible hand still planting flowers. I mean, I don't think you have people from driving in cars throwing seeds to the side of the road. It's just, how did they get there? He's planting these gardens along life's way to remind us that he's still creating and continuing the cycle of life, even when we're totally unaware of it. We're focused on our own thing, totally unaware of what's going on. And even within those tiny wildflower seeds, there's a big, vast potential locked within those things that under the right circumstances, planted in good soil and then watered and covered in sunshine, all of a sudden a miracle happens. The seed transforms into something more than just itself. It gives birth to a plant that blooms, bringing forth beauty and life and color and sometimes fruit, depending on what plant it is. But it's a miracle, almost something out of nothing. And so God, when he calls us to sow broadly and so generously and so diligently. And sometimes the seed that he requires us to sow doesn't obviously promise anything as far as we can see. But yet we're still asked to believe in the potential of these undeveloped miracles inside of these small seeds. And we're to sow as according to the Scripture, with the view to righteousness, not seeing or knowing any of the vast potential of what's within our hands. But ours is just to be faithful, to sow by faith these seeds of promise that are given to us, to cast the seed into the soil of life around us, generously, diligently, and faithfully doing that. And God's part, His part is to do the miracle. To take all these planting of seeds and the love seeds, the integrity seeds, the faithfulness seeds, into the moments of our lives when no one is looking, faithful to spread the gospel, faithful to spread the good news, serving our children, helping and loving our spouses, loving each other, praying for each other, encouraging each other, bringing meals to each other, helping each other out when times get rough, praying and believing with no sprout of an answer in sight. But yet, in time, with His own hands, there's going to be such a bounty of beauty, a harvest of seeds planted, and someday you'll be walking along and finally you'll see these beautiful patches of beauty along the side of your life as you continue down the road of your journey, that He was creating the miracle of life right beside us. And these seeds will begin to sprout righteousness and redemption that'll be far beyond you and I could have ever imagined. But the harvest of such sowing is only for those who plant, only for those who cultivate, and only for those who wait by faith, by believing in a promise that lies ahead. And so let's look at what the Father has planted and see the beautiful harvest of our lives if we'll only believe in the potential of it right now, in our lives right now, that by faith it's going to become a harvest of righteousness that is far beyond any measure that we can see. As God source of provision through us in our lives, and as He takes care of His children, you and I. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father, we thank You that no situation is too far out of Your control, because You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God who provides, even at times when we miss it. And we thank You that You own all of it, and we thank You that You hold everything in Your hands. We thank You that You know the needs even before we come to You and ask for them, that You hold the provision. You hold our concerns because You have a plan and You have a solution in our lives. Father, You can move mountains. Father, You can make way for Your children. When we ask for Your answer, Father, we ask for Your timing. We ask for Your plan in our lives, Father, to be given for every need that's here this morning that's weighing our hearts down. And Father, forgive us for doubting You. Forgive us for worrying. Forgive us for trying to take things in our own hand and trying to work things out on our own. Just help us to trust You more. Help us, Father, in our unbelief. We choose to recognize and believe that You're able to do far more and to accomplish far more greater things than we ever thought possible in our life. We thank You in advance for the miracles of paving the pathways for Your provision for those who love You and those who want to be obedient to You. Thank You for Your abundance of blessings and Your abundance of goodness, Father, and that You've already stored up for us. And we trust You this day, Father. And every day, we're so grateful for Your power and joy that fills our lives, Father. We thank You for teaching us to be content in all circumstances. And we love You, Father. And we continue to lean on You, Father, as you provide for us through sources that we had no idea. Help us to be thankful in our hearts, as Scripture says this morning, in all things. You are the great provider. In the name of Jesus' mighty name, all the church said, Amen.